This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Two people who have spoken in the past about not being that keen on Clubhouse, talking once more about Clubhouse. So we have, of course, the reason why this is happening is because it's seen a huge growth in its use. People keep talking about it. People keep talking on it. However, questions do remain about how best to moderate live audio discussions for problematic content. I think it's also worth mentioning that it's interesting having this conversation after seeing what happened with Malaysia Kini recently and of that being something written down. How does it apply when it's something spoken?
Yes. So if you haven't yet been introduced to Clubhouse, it's basically an invitation-only, audio-only iPhone app. Think of it as maybe listening to live podcasts, being able to be in a quote-unquote room while people have conversations. It allows people to host. You can be a moderator. You can listen to conversations. Sometimes you can participate. And there are multiple rooms with these conversations happening all at once.
So they do have some community guidelines. Some of those include using a real name and identity, being above 18 years old, no abuse, bullying, harassment, discrimination, no sharing of others' private information without their prior permission. Interesting, because as an app, there have been questions about the privacy settings anyway. No recording of conversations without prior permission, no sharing of false information. And those manage the neat internet trick, I think, of sounding very, very precise and detailed, but also being actually very, very vague.
Yes. Now, the room moderators, of course, have some amount of control. Actually, they have a lot of control in terms of who they can accept or reject as speakers. They can choose to mute people. They can choose to remove someone from their rooms. And so the moderators are given a lot of leeway here in terms of shaping the purpose of that conversation that's happening in that particular room and to protect the purpose of that room. However, I think the problem here comes from it being live audio, right? Mm. Because versus something that's written down, like what you said, audio-based content is more difficult to moderate. It's ephemeral. It happens and then it's gone. How do you take action? What's the proof that you want to hold someone accountable for, especially when in a lot of these cases, they may not be recorded? So as things like Clubhouse are becoming more popular, you know, Twitter is introducing Spaces, which... fairly similar concept, I think. People are starting to ask questions about how, as more people get onto these platforms, we're going to deal with things like hate speech or problematic content or people attacking each other, harassing each other. How are these things going to be managed?
So we are two people who haven't, like I said, we're not on Clubhouse. I feel the need to say
that. Well, I'm on Clubhouse, but I'm mostly a lurker. I just want to say.
There you go. Good for you, Sharmila. I'm continuing to avoid. But let us know. I mean, have you found people saying problematic things? Have you found instances of these sorts of moments that you felt, okay, I wish that there were better protections, better boundaries? Let us know. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are crossing over now, though, to Dr. Nikki Cheong, lecturer and researcher in media and communications at Coventry University. Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. And I haven't seen you, Lynn, on Clubhouse. So now I know why.
We've both lurked in rooms before, so I've seen Nikki.
I see. Yes. I'm holding out for the time being. So Nikki, in line with that, have you moderated or participated in conversations on Clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean, I've been there fairly often the last 2.5 weeks, I think. I don't start my own rooms and things. But I go into rooms if I find it interesting. Sometimes I see old friends. But I have been in rooms where they have made me a moderator. I don't know why, but they felt like they trusted me enough to give me that role, which you know, I think in itself has potential problems that we can kind of discuss as we go on with this conversation.
Mm. How do you feel about this concept of audio-based social networks?
I mean, it was a matter of time, wasn't it? You know, like, I think we've really starting to see that kind of shift. We saw a lot of things with videos happening in the last five to 10 years, I think, more recent. And people are starting to use chat apps where they don't type anymore. They started to record their conversations, you know, like voice chats and voice recordings. So I think it was a matter of time. I'm not sure how I feel about it in the sense of how easy is it to use compared to other social media, right? So I think text-based social media, you can come in and out, you can flip, you know, flip in and out, and you can catch up very easily. Whereas with, I think with audio-based social media, it's a bit more difficult. I have been in conversations where I don't dare to ask questions or speak because what have I missed in the last 40 minutes, for example? But also then, you know, so I think that it's, and it takes a lot of time. I'm one of those few people, and I don't know whether you're the same, who I can't listen and do anything else at the same time. I even tried cooking while listening to Clubhouse, and I
can cook and do chores, but I can't do anything that needs my brain.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So if I go into these rooms and stuff, it's a lot. There's a lot of kind of, I think, intellectual stimulation in that kind of sense. That's why I go in, at least, you know, and that's a bit more difficult, especially with the serious topics that there has been rooms with very kind of very serious topics, and you don't want to just be completely disengaged.
So what have you observed then in terms of how live audio discussion settings deal with social dynamics or inclusivity?
Yeah, I think that's really, really, really complex. I think the good thing is that a lot of people who are on there are vocal. So if there is something untoward or something strange or some kind of conversation that's kind of going out of hand, I think somebody might stand up and actually say something. But I think the way it's structured at the moment, and this is Clubhouse specifically only that I can talk about, right? There's other kind of audio-based things like Discord and those kind of things, where I think the worry is that the structure still mirrors the social structures of society, which means that people who gets to be moderators, for example, who opens this room, who has the confidence, who has the following, who has all of those kind of things. And then there is a lot of potential problems with this. I've been in rooms, not just in Malaysia, but set in other parts of the world where I've seen issues with kind of sexism, you know, with male moderators not allowing a lot of women, or at least not kind of letting those voices be elevated. The same thing with race. I think that I was in a room a couple of weeks ago where there was this huge discussion about people of color in the US, and the discussion got heated. And so the moderator said, okay, everybody who was involved in the conversation stepped down. And the only person who stepped down was the person of color. And all of the other people didn't. So I think that, you know, it's worrying in that sense, because the control is still with certain kind of, with social structural issues, I think.
Mm. So what are the kinds of tools that social media platforms like Clubhouse are currently using to handle problematic content or content that might border on things like hate speech and so on? Are these tools effective?
I think with Clubhouse specifically, we don't know yet. So we know that they've implemented, like you've said, right? They've actually kind of, they have policies, they have terms and conditions, and they have the report button, but it hasn't been around yet for us to kind of see how, what kind of action that they take. I think Facebook and Twitter, there is enough people who've used these features and maybe been, you know, told that this doesn't constitute hate speech and stuff. And what happens then is that because there's so many people, we can actually raise that this is a problem with the platform. With Clubhouse, they say that they are investing in teams to kind of navigate issues like that, but we actually hasn't properly been tested yet for us to know whether people's reports are effectively or taken seriously.
What would you like to see these platforms keeping in mind when they moderate for hate speech, harassment, problematic content in these literal chat rooms? So I find it very hard to even begin to think about how to moderate or how to manage this when it comes to the off-the-cuff stuff, right, that can come with just speaking.
I think there's two issues here, right? So one is how the platform deals with it. And I think that is a huge conversation that we're still talking about, you know, with all social media platforms, even things like Facebook, which has been around for 15 years, is still dealing with that. You know, Facebook recently had their, I can't remember what they call, but they had this group of people who would help them, their Supreme Court version, you know, who would look into kind of the cases and reports, right? So I think that a lot of social media companies are still navigating this. So I think that's something that Clubhouse needs to kind of really think about and start working, especially since their numbers are relatively small. So before they become mainstream, they need to address this, and they need to address it now. The second thing I think that we need to think about is actually who is doing the moderating. Because everybody can be a moderator, not everybody knows how to be a moderator. So I've been in rooms, for example, where people who, they are moderators because they started the room, not because they're trained to be moderators, that they're used to public speaking and those kind of things, where they actually get bombarded by other speakers and they can't really do anything about it because they're not skilled enough to shut them down, to stop them. And they don't want, you know, they're afraid that their social currency gets affected. So they don't want to just ban you or take you down, you know, because that starts a whole different thing. Then this person might open another room going, I just got banned from this person's room, right? And I'm alluding to something else that happened.
Yes. This has happened in some form.
And Clubhouse. But these are the things that potentially happen. And you know, in Malaysia, with the case I'm talking about, it was a comedian. He's relatively known. He has his social currency and he has his following, but not everybody has that. So that worries me about kind of who gets to do moderation and do they know how to kind of navigate it.
So as this user base grows for these sorts of live audio social media, what other issues do you think might arise?
How much time do we have? I think one of the big things with audio-based social media and with Clubhouse specifically is how transient the conversations are. So they're trying to do things. So I know about 2 weeks ago, they implemented this thing where you can actually report somebody who's spoken in a room even after they've left the room. But I haven't yet seen consistency in who has a report button on their profile as well. So I'm not sure how these things are selected. So for example, when I went into a room the other day and we were talking about this, so we were testing it out, there were 9 of us, only half of us had a report button and the other half of the speakers didn't. So I'm not sure how those things are going. But I think a lot of the problems that we see on other social media will appear. So I've already been in rooms where misogyny, sexism, racism is very clear. I've been in rooms where people are sprouting, questionable opinions and passing them as fact. And this is very clear with obviously COVID-19 and vaccinations, for example. That's something that's definitely appeared. So, and I think one of the biggest things that I'm worried about is once the masses, the big numbers come in, how are people going to be mobilizing organized forms of disinformation? And this is something that I worry about in all social media based on the research that I do. And I can actually already see how it's going to manifest on audio-based spaces like Clubhouse.
So, I mean, are growing pains to be expected, or is it crucial that these social media platforms get it right early on, get these sorts of structures in place, and maybe even more, with more relevance, how much growing pains are acceptable?
I think we're beyond that stage at the moment. I think that if you want to create an app and you know, these people create these apps because they want big numbers, then you have to be ready for it from the start. We've seen enough. We're not talking about, this is not 2000, this is not 2000, you know, millennium where we were worried that all the technology will just fail. We are at a stage now where we have seen these problems. We know it can happen. And it, like, just because Clubhouse is new and fresh and sexy doesn't mean that there aren't other things that we can learn on. Discord has had a huge issue with misogyny and racism, right? And that's audio-based as well. So we already even have those kind of things. It's not as mainstream, but if you're thinking of Clubhouse as a platform that wants to go mainstream, and you know they're letting us invite as many people, like by sheer numbers, every few days I get more and more invites, the numbers will increase. And if they are at that stage of their push-out that they want the big numbers in, they have to be ready. So I don't know about growing pains, you know. I'm not convinced that that's a good argument and a good defense.
Nikki, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks a lot.
That was Dr. Nikki Cheong, lecturer and researcher in media and communications at Coventry University, talking about Clubhouse and the fact that they are going to have to start thinking, or rather figure out, how to manage problematic content. Just very quickly, we have one message on this from Sui Lim, who says, it sounds like most rooms are bound to become echo chambers, literally and figuratively. I will leave you with that. We have to head now to the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.